Hey, good morning, everybody. So glad you could join us. And we're going to start with just a little prayer and then going to be singing some worship songs. And Pastor Kurt, if there's any audio or any technical difficulties, text Kathy and she can come out and we can make some corrections if it's too loud or whatever. So let's go ahead and get started. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. It was a little rainy and windy, but it's still the day that you've made. And Lord, we just dedicate it to you. Lord, we just want to have this time of worship on through this unique way that you've given us to be together online. And want to thank you for that. Lord, just pray that you would just draw us all closer to you through that, through this whole coronavirus pandemic. Lord, we still have so many things to be thankful for. Thankful for food, thankful for shelter. Thankful that we can still connect with each other via Facebook, through texting and Instagram and all social medias, Lord, and for Zoom meetings, Lord. Thank you for all that. And just pray that you are honored today. In your name, amen. Send his peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Let's do Eye of the Storm. You gonna sing with me? I'll lead it. Alright. In the eye of the storm, you remain control. In the middle of the war, you got my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm, in the eye of the storm, you be making control. In the middle of the war, you got my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm, when the solid ground is falling out from underneath my feet, between the black skies and my red eyes, I can barely see. When I realize I've been sold out by my friends and my family, I can feel the rain remind me. In the eye of the storm, you remain control. In the middle of the war, you got my soul. You alone are the anchor. When the sails are torn, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm, when my hopes and dreams are far from me, and I'm running out of faith, I see the future, or I picture, slowly fade away. And with the tears and pain and heartache are pouring down my face, I find my peace in Jesus' name. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you got my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me. You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I be? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. Troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies. Some of you are close by, just down the street, and I know some of you are in another town over, and I know some of you are in a different state, and some of you are in a different country, and God has pulled us all together to worship Him, and it's an awesome thing. I'm going to go back to my southern roots, and I know my sister Kim is watching live right now. And a song that we used to sing all the time at my mom and dad's church down in Oklahoma. And everybody at Sanctuary knows it too, because we do it a lot. It's sort of like my anthem. It's Victory in Jesus. I've heard no love story, how a Savior came from glory. How He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. And I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory.
Jesus, my Savior, forever. He saw me and He bought me with His redeeming blood.
worship, sometimes after, we ask people to say, hey, so glad that you're here, and shake hands and hugs. So this is your chance to get on the comment section and put in, so glad to see you all and visit, and you get just a few minutes of that online, and then we'll start our next song. Just a second.
Justice flows like the
end this with just first verse of Amazing Grace, the old hymn, not the revised. Staying in this attitude of just thought and prayer and worship where you're at. Pastor Kurt will be coming on in just a moment to give us a word from the Lord, and I'm looking forward to it. And I was thinking about doing another worship set midweek, and we'll post it on our church website. It won't be live, but we'll post about an hour's worth of worship on Wednesday, and hope to see you there. God bless you and love you all. I miss you so much. Bye.
Glad that you're with us this morning, even if you're at home. We're together under the circumstances as close as we can be together. Let's start with a word of prayer this morning. Father God, I thank you for the privilege and the ability, oh Lord, to just come before you this morning, to worship you, to spend that time lifting up your name and singing praise to you, Father. Lord, what a joy it is. What a wonderful, wonderful ability it is to just seek you and spend time before your throne, Father God. Lord, would you be with us now as we spend some time together in your word, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, here we are. More than 2 weeks into this whole coronavirus pandemic. Now let's be honest this morning. We are all asking ourselves questions. Questions like, what's next? How long is this going to last? Where do we go from here? You know, with all the technology and scientific understanding that we have, we wonder why we can't just simply wipe this thing out and be done with it. We are all wondering when we will be able to get back to normal, right? Even among the church, you know, we're all asking, when is it we're going to be able to get together again? All over this country this morning, church buildings are sitting empty, depending on the particular state's shelter-in-place order. As Americans, we have never expected something like this to happen in our nation. And we always have that not here kind of attitude, right? That happens somewhere else. It just doesn't happen in this country, in this nation. We live in the land of the free, not the society of the locked down communities. Yet here we are, sheltering in place and holding worship services online instead of in person. Life is a little bit crazy, you could say, at this point. But there's still a lot we can learn as we walk through all of this. And, dare I say, there are benefits to this whole shelter-in-place order. For example, maybe it's going to slow us down just a little bit. In fact, when you're done watching this, take out a sheet of paper or two or three or whatever it takes and write down all the stuff that you do, all the things that take place in your life each day of the week, Sunday through Saturday. Write them all down on a piece of paper. Then start crossing off all those things you can't do at this moment in time. And start to take hold of all the extra time that you now have. Why should we do something like that? Because every one of us at some point has complained about not having enough time in a day. Even saying things like, well, I didn't have time to pray today. Or, I just didn't get around to reading God's Word today. Now, I'm sure as you review that list that you write down, there are certain things that will jump off the page about, oh, I really enjoyed doing that, I really miss that. But just maybe, there's also some things you will find listed there, and you'll realize now that they're not quite as important as they used to be. See, suddenly what mattered so much to us now takes a back seat on that list of absolutes we once had. Same 24 hours in a day, but we find ourselves less stressed because of all the things that we have to do or now don't have to do. Perhaps you'll even find the things that you do now much more enjoyable. And maybe, just maybe, you'll have the little bit of extra time you need now to spend it praying and reading and seeking the Lord. Another benefit to all this time, or this downtime, I should say, is all of this at-home schooling or e-learning that we find ourselves involved in. Now, I realize that many parents have been thrust into the teacher position, a role that they didn't sign up for, nor a role that they feel qualified to perform. Yet, what an incredible journey we could have with our kids at this point. We can sit and watch as lessons and topics come to life in their eyes and in their minds. Together, we can rejoice at some of those hard problems that start to make sense to them. Again, this whole time factor comes into play here. We have more time with our kids. We can invest in them, not just be in the same room with them. Now, I know for some that still has to happen at night after work. But again, we need to look at the good that comes from this. There are thousands of kids all around the world that would give anything just to have one textbook. Not only do we have the ability to keep learning, but we can do it from the safety and comfort of our own home, largely in part because of this technology that we have been blessed with in this nation. You know, another good thing that we can have during all this time is the blessing to be able to sit together and eat together as a family. And we can do that because we're not running all over the place or in 100 directions trying to get everything accomplished. But we can sit together at the table and we can talk about our day. what worked, what didn't work, what do we maybe need to improve on that? And we could do it face to face as a family, not via text or Snapchat or even Zoom. But we can have that personal, intimate conversation with each other. As great as technology is, nothing takes the place of genuine face-to-face family time. And that's something that this nation has needed for a very long time. In fact, it's at the heart of strengthening the family unit. But what about the church? What is it the church should be doing during this time? We too have been given an opportunity. The question is whether or not we will act on that opportunity. See, many people tend to forget that the church is not the building or the meeting place. It's the people who gather there. We are the church. When we talk about the idea of the church of Jesus Christ, we're talking about you and I. So what is the church, the people, what is it we should be doing at this time? And the answer is actually pretty simple. Do as Jesus did. Do as Jesus did. What does that mean? Let's think through it for a minute. What are all the things you have learned about since you became a Christian or since you started studying the words? What is it that you know about Jesus as your Savior? Jesus taught people. Jesus loved people. Jesus encouraged people. Jesus gave of himself for other people. He willingly put others first and chose to take the back seat for himself. In fact, that's what led him to the cross. His willingness to die for others, for you and I, had nothing to do with himself. It was for us that he laid down his life, because he loves us, because he wanted to make a way for us, because our sins needed to be forgiven, not because he had done anything wrong or needed to pay a price for himself. Jesus did everything he did for us. So what is it we should be doing at this time in our nation's history, when it appears that life in and of itself has been turned upside down? We should do like Jesus did. We should learn to love others. We should be working at encouraging other people, just as Jesus did, just as he taught us to do. See, we need to adopt a selfless attitude, an attitude of giving, just like our Savior had. There's absolutely nothing written in the Word of God by mistake. And while it may have had one application at the time it was written, it can have a similar or another application for us today. In addition to his gospel and the book of Revelation, the Apostle John wrote three letters that bear his name. In those letters, he spent a great deal of time talking about how we are supposed to be different, how we are supposed to change, how we're not supposed to be the same as the rest of the world. In those letters, he talked about loving others and what it means to love others, not of our own strength, but to see others and to love others as Christ would love them. There are a couple of verses we're going to read this morning in 1 John that clearly talk about us being like Christ. 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 3. We know that you have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I don't know him, the man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to be in him must walk as Jesus did. There are two things that just leap off the page in those couple of verses this morning. First of all, understand that our actions better line up with our words, or we are liars. You know, there's an old saying that goes, if you're going to talk the talk, you better walk the walk. And that's not my opinion. That comes from the Word of God. Do what he commands or you are lying. That's what we just read in that text. Today, in the craziness of this pandemic, if you call yourself a Christian, you better be acting like a Christian. And that's pretty much the second obvious point here. We need to do as Jesus did. Act as he acted. We have before us a tremendous opportunity as the body of Christ. So many people around us are consumed with panic and fear and even hoarding. We have the unique ability to let the light and love of Christ shine through us each and every day, even in the midst of social distancing or stay-at-home orders. How do we do that when we're not allowed to be around others? There are tons of creative ways we can let the love of Christ shine through our lives. Let me give you just a couple of examples this morning. I saw one person's post on Facebook last week. They had a table sitting out in front of their house with a whole bunch of assorted items on that table, including rolls of toilet paper. And posted in front of that table was a sign that simply read, "If you are in need, please help yourself to any one of these items." That's loving others. That's being like Christ wants us to be. Last week, Pastor Brian mentioned that they were posting signs outside their house with encouraging words on them, so that anyone who passed by might see those words of encouragement. Encouraging others with words of affirmation, that's loving like Jesus would love. Perhaps you've even seen an increase of positive, encouraging messages posted on different social media sites. See, there are ways we can let the love and light of Christ shine in us and through us, even in the midst of social separation. Some other ideas for you, and these might seem awfully old school, as we might say, but what about sitting down and handwriting a note or a card and sending it out to your neighbor or to a family member or to a friend? What about picking up the phone, actually dialing some numbers and making a phone call just to say hi? Those kind of things let people know that you're thinking of them and they are encouraging to others. And by doing that, we can let our light shine to others. You know, a couple of years ago, we did a series of random acts of kindness at church. And on the back wall of the sanctuary, we posted just a bunch of anonymous random acts of kindness that were done throughout the week. Now, it was not done to glorify or praise any person. It was done to get people excited, to show them simple ways of reaching out and touching others when others need it most. One of the things that was posted quite often on that board was the idea of going through the drive-thru and paying for the order behind you. Now, that might seem simple, but you have no idea today how much that might speak volumes to somebody or bless somebody that you took the time, you were willing to pay for the order that you didn't place or didn't get. Simple little things can make a huge difference to people. Now, at this moment, maybe more than ever, we need to let God use us in these simple little ways to share His love and to let His light shine. People all around us are searching for more. They're looking for something they don't have. They're looking for answers, and they're longing for peace and reassurance. Those are all things that we as believers can share with them, whether it's face-to-face or at a distance. We can talk to them about the assurance we have in Christ, how He takes care of us, how He meets our needs, how we understand and rely on the words of promise written in His text. Our actions, our attitudes at this time are critical. We have to be the church that God has called us to be. Paul wrote a letter to the Ephesians, and when he did that, he wrote down some very important information, not just for the Ephesians, but important information for us today. See, in the midst of this 2020 global crisis, years ago, God directed Paul to write down words that would apply to our lives today. Almost half of the fourth chapter and some of the fifth chapter of Ephesians talks about living as children of the light. And in that text, it lists all kinds of ways that we should live differently and be differently, and how, as saved individuals, the light should shine through us. Listen as I read just a couple of these verses to you this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. There is one word right there in that verse that just leaps off the page, and that's the word insist. That's a very strong word that Paul used there. And what he's doing is telling us that the rest of his statement is a requirement for us. That requirement is to live differently, to be different, for us to live and let the light of God shine to the world around us. That's not an option. It's a requirement. Think differently. Be different. Living differently is what sets us apart from others, and it speaks volumes to people. I want you to notice another word there. It says to live differently. Doesn't say to talk differently or speak differently. It says to live differently. Again, it's referring to our actions. And be assured, during times of crisis, people are not listening to what you say as much as they are watching what you are doing and how we are responding. How we treat others, how we minister to others, happens primarily through our actions. Are we checking in on each other? Are we talking with each other? Are we encouraging each other? Or are we focused inward on ourselves and our own self-centered desires? Paul lists several different examples of how life should be different in that text. And then he writes this in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. There it is again. Be imitators. Imitators of who? Imitators of God. You know, Jesus' primary focus while on this earth was to share God's love with others. He was here to redeem the lost, to bring redemption to all mankind. As his children, as his disciples, as the saved, born-again believers we claim to be, one of our primary tasks is to do like Jesus did. To be like Jesus. To live like Jesus. Right here, right now, in this time. Because it's here we have a tremendous opportunity to let the light of Christ shine. Even in this frantic, perplexed nation of people we are living among. We are 2 weeks away from celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Quite honestly, there's a very real possibility we could still be doing that celebration from some sort of a distance. You know, the enemy would absolutely love to interrupt that celebration or somehow put a halt to any resurrection celebration we might have. He would love to diminish the victory we received on the cross. We cannot allow that to happen. We must be willing to share the love of Christ with others, especially in times like these. The world needs to know Jesus. They need to know his love and what he's done for each and every one of us. That happens today when we let our light shine so others may see it. Truthfully, that celebration of Resurrection Sunday should be an everyday part of our lives, not a once a year celebration, but it should be a part of who we are as believers, as people, as children of Christ. What Christ did for us is not reserved for one day a year. It should be celebrated every day of our lives. Think about how much grander, how much more exciting that celebration can be as we reach out to others and show others Christ's love. This is absolutely not the time for the church to be worried about empty buildings. Buildings that are nothing more than shells of brick and mortar and sticks. This is the time for the people of God who are the church to stand up and shine like he called us to shine. I want you to remember the two greatest commandments according to Jesus. They're recorded in Matthew chapter 22, starting at verse 37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is a time for us to love our neighbors. This is the time for us to reflect Christ more than we ever have before. The enemy may have meant all of this for evil, but God can certainly turn all of this into good. And he chooses to do that through you and I as we let his light shine. So I encourage you, Let your light shine today. Bring God glory today, both in your home and in your neighborhood, by doing what Jesus did, loving others. Pray with me this morning. Father, again, we come before you this morning, and we thank you and we praise you for this incredible opportunity we have before us as your children to share your love with those that are around us. God, give us wisdom, give us understanding, give us discernment in how to do that. Lord, even if we're not creative people, give us creative ideas that we can spread your word, share your gospel, be a bright light in the communities in which we live. Lord, I pray that others would take peace and comfort and joy as they see you through us. Lord, let them be inquisitive. Let them reach out. Let them call for you. God, I pray that this would be a time, Lord, where fishing is done and the nets are full and people are pulled into your kingdom. God, give us the opportunities that we need. Give us the words that we need. God, be glorified through us and let us be the people, not just verbally, but in action. Let us be the people you have called us to be. And Lord, I pray once again for wisdom and discernment for our nation. God, that you would give our leaders, local, state, federal, give them guidance and direction through all of this. Let them know and understand what you want done. God, supernaturally work in their lives and through them to bring glory to you, Father God. Lord, even today, I pray for those that are working on a cure or a vaccine for this virus, and I pray, God, that you would give them divine inspiration, that you would speak to them, and that they would do things they'd never thought of before, Lord, in order to bring healing to other people. And of course, we know, God, that you deserve the glory and the honor and the praise for all of that. Lord, again today, I thank you and praise you for the blessing that we have to be together through this technology called social media. And Lord, I pray, God, I pray that every one of us would be closer and more in tune with you now than maybe we've ever been in our walk with you. I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' precious name.